Last week I left you all with an assignment. Who remembers the assignment? Paula,
you're
the MVET. Okay, Memorial Highway. You'll see the sign not too far down the road. So very good. So somebody remembered something I said. That's really good to know. First of all, I'd like to thank the Assembly for your continued fellowship with us. You are actually helping us build an office for Emmaus Philippines. The funds that you are sending to us are going towards that project. We have just finished the second floor. We've got two more floors to go. Whether we finish it in my lifetime or not, I'm not sure. Only the Lord knows. So thank you for praying for us. We need your prayers, and thank you for your faithful fellowship. Many, many years of commitment to the Lord's work in the Philippines, and we thank you for that. Somebody said earlier that there's not going to be too many here next week. Well, we're one of those that are heading out of town too, but we're not going to the wedding. We weren't invited, so we can't go. It's all right. I'm missing, since we're home, there are four weddings that I was supposed to be doing in the next 2 months, and others have had to step up and take on that responsibility. We're going to New Hampshire. We're going to go and see Joel Lindbergh, our nephew, and I will be speaking at the fellowship there in Concord. So I'd value your prayers also as we seek to serve the Lord in other areas. And then, Lord willing, the end of this month, we will go to California and we'll be there for 4 weeks and then back home to the Philippines. I'm sure we all are aware that some special events are taking place in England right now. The Platinum Jubilee of Queen Elizabeth. And I have been very impressed with the preparations and the dedication of thousands upon thousands of people to celebrate the reign of my queen, okay? Queen Elizabeth. She is also the Queen of New Zealand. And the other night they had what they called the party at the palace. And it was good to see some of those names that I've heard over the years, not Christian names, I don't think, but never mind. Names of people who have been able to put on a special performance to celebrate the 70 years of the reign of the Queen of England. One thing that surprised me was the number of people invited from other countries to sing. Well, I'm going to surprise you this morning because I have an invitation to a special family who are from another country. By special request, our friends from the Congo are going to come and sing to us as a family, I believe. At least that was the request. Whether we got through or not, time will tell. Brother, will you please bring your family up the front and sing for us this morning? And this is Party at the Chapel. Looks like the kids are not coming with you. Next time.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning.
I salute in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, with you. Acknowledge his good plan. The Bible says every ministry is cursed unless the songs last. Amen. We sing in the Swahili book, Swahili hymns. Sometime another songs will be to the Swahili. Another songs will be to the English. So we need to celebrate together to worship and praise the Lord. Amen. Bwana Mungu nashanga kabisa nikifiki rejinsi ulivyo Nyotanguru, movi tu vyote pia, viumbwavyo kwa uwezo wako. Roho yangu na ikuimbie, jinsi wewe ulivyo mkuu. Roho yangu na ikuimbie, jinsi wewe ulivyo mkuu. Nikitembea pote duniani, ndege huimba na wasikia, milima hupendeza macho sana, upepo na unafurahia. Jinsi wewe ulivyo mkuu. Roho yangu na ikuimbie, jinsi wewe ulivyo mkuu. Yesu Mwokozi, utakaporudi kulichukua kwenda mbinguni, nitashukuru na kuimba milele, wote wajue jinsi ulivyo. Roho yangu na ikuimbie, jinsi wewe ulivyo mkuu. Oh, roho yangu na ikuimbie, jinsi wewe ulivyo mkuu. Everyone to sing. Hallelujah. We need to sing together. Hallelujah. Nikitembea pote duniani, ndege huimba na wasikia. Sing to your language. Milima hupendeza macho sana, upepo na unafurahi. Imba roho yangu. Roho yangu na ikuimbie, jinsi wewe ulivyo mkuu. Roho yangu na ikuimbie, jinsi wewe
can now remove us. Go back to your seat because I am not going to sing. And I all clapped. Thank you so much. I think we could just close in prayer. And we would be blessed by our brother. Maybe next time when I ask you, I want your whole family up here, okay? Your wife and your kids, and they can present to us God's word through song. I think you missed your calling. You didn't get an invitation from the Queen to sing at the party at the palace? Too bad. I really had a hard time deciding what the Lord would have me share this morning. I prepared one message And then I put it aside because it's not really appropriate for today, maybe in 2 weeks' time, but who knows? I want to share with you from an Old Testament book written by an author that we virtually know nothing about, the book of Habakkuk. And I believe that there are many pronunciations, but you'll have to put up with my New Zealand English, and we will call it Habakkuk, okay? An interesting book, a book that starts off in despair, disillusionment, a book starting with complaints to God Almighty because of what is taking place in the land at this particular time. And if we were to spend time looking at the whole book, we would see that the Chaldeans were being used of God to punish the people of God. The Chaldeans were not people of faith. They were not people known for their loving kindness. And yet God, in his wisdom, decided to use them to punish his people because they were disobedient. Habakkuk, an unknown servant of the Lord in his generation, there's nothing recorded about his lineage, family, or place of abode. Very little we know about him, except that he had a relationship with the living God. In chapter one, he lays out his heart before God. And he asks God, why is he using the so-called heathen people to discipline his people? So it starts off on a very sad note, and perhaps we feel the same way as we look around us. We try to do good. We try to serve God. And yet there are those that stand up against us, and seemingly they are the ones that are having the victories in their life. We tend to look around us and see what is taking place. For example, what is happening in Ukraine? Why does God allow Putin to send in his troops? I don't have the answer. Why does God allow the wicked people of the world to become rich? We know how they become rich, because they cheat, they steal, they lie. So we too have questions that we ask of God. The purpose of this book has been stated to encourage those who are truly the people of God to have confidence in him, whatever the surrounding circumstances, a challenge to live by faith and wait patiently upon God. It could be called Faith, Its Trials and Triumph. The book opens with mystery and uncertainty, and ends with confidence and certainty. It's a good book for our times. We think of COVID and its effect. Millions of people have died. This morning we were reminded that God is a God of great power. He could stop COVID tomorrow, but he won't, probably. least it would seem to us impossible to do that, but it is not impossible for God. But he allows it to go on. And we have these questions in our minds. Why? Why would a loving God allow this to happen in our so-called Christian country? Why would he allow it to happen throughout the world? We don't know. But there are some things that we do know. And in Habakkuk chapter 3, we find his declaration concerning God's grace. And in spite of what is taking place, the plight of the shootings that take place, the mass shootings, the COVID plague, the war in Ukraine and other places around the world, not forgetting the wars in Africa, God is still on the throne and he's still in control, and we can have faith in him. So I want to jump in at the end of the book, because this is a note of victory. Okay, you on the one hand, the desolation, the troubles that the people of God are experiencing. And Habakkuk, as he looks at the events that are taking place around him, gets to that place where he recognizes that God is in control. So we're going to read from verse 13. Thou didst go forth for the salvation of thy people, chapter 3, for the salvation of thine anointed. Thou didst strike the head of the house of evil to lay him open from thigh to neck. Thou didst pierce with his own spears the head of his throngs. They stormed in to scatter us. Their exultation was like those who devour the oppressed in secret. Thou didst tread on the sea with thy horses and on the surge of many waters. I heard, and my inward parts trembled at the sound of my lips. The sound of my lips quivered. Decay entered my bones, and in my place I trembled, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olives should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the land, and there be no cattle in the stalls. Pretty grim sight. But we praise God that it doesn't stop there. Verse 18, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He has made me my feet like hinds' feet, and he makes me to walk on my high places. The Lord bless to us the reading of his word. We find here the prayer of Habakkuk, that he has heard. If you go back to verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk, the servant of the prophet, according to the Shigonos. This was perhaps a psalm, a different type of psalm from the usual, but a psalm, and the word Shigonoth is only mentioned twice in the Old Testament. And he goes on to say that he has heard the report about thee, about God, and the events that were taking place around him. I heard, which not only means I just listened to, I actually heard it, but I listened to that report and obeyed. I feared, meaning I stood in awe. What is our response to God's word? Do we listen to it? Do we obey it? Does it bring about a response of praise and worship? Sometimes I get quite frustrated back in the Philippines. It's one song that we sing quite often, and it says in one of the lines, I stand in awe. And what do? We're sitting comfortably in our seats. And I'd like to give a little kick. Stand up. If you're going to say I'm standing in awe of God, stand in awe. Be accounted. Be willing to acknowledge who he is. It's very comfortable. You know, if everybody's seated, nobody really knows my reaction. But if I stand up, and we need people to stand up today, to be counted, to stand in awe. Fearful of what people might say, but confident in what God will do. Fearful of what people might say and do, and confident in what God has done for us. Starting off from verse 13, a continuation of the prayer. We don't have time to look at it all. Let us go forth for the salvation of thy people. God acted so that his people might be saved. We stand here this morning with assurance in our hearts that we have been saved because of what Christ has done for us and the promises of his word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It's not what I would call a pie in the sky. I like pies, but I can only dream of them most of the time. Sometimes I break the rules. It is an assurance to us that God has worked, that God has provided a way of salvation. Our time here on earth is only a time of preparation for eternity. And we need to make sure that we are making use of this time. And not only making use of as time for ourselves, but in sharing the good news of salvation. Unfortunately, in Christendom today, we have become very content. We have become very complacent. We joke about singing the song, Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying. And we're safe in our little chapel, meeting together with very little concern for the outside world. So the question to us today, have we experienced God's salvation? It's a fact that we can be saved from sin. God has provided a method and a way, actually he's provided a person, that you and I might be saved from the punishment of the sin that we all have committed. And I thank God that it's not part of my responsibility to do my thing so that I might be saved. God has done it all. He has given his son to be our savior. But there is a response that needs to come from us. We need to believe that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And as our brother would say, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. No. We have that assurance that he came to save you and I. He has made that provision that all that come to him, whether you are from the Congo, from Guatemala, from New Zealand, from, I'm not sure whether you claim India anywhere in your history, but we'll say India.
Canada.
Canada. Oh, they really need it up there. They need it much more in America. Doesn't matter where we come from, God has provided salvation. He's gone forth. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, for thy people, for the salvation of thine anointed. And this was the people of Israel in particular, but we can say that it is applicable to us today. 2022, God's salvation is still available, and we thank God for that. Then Habakkuk goes on and he describes what he has heard, how the Lord has gone forth and brought salvation to his people. He has stricken the head of the house of evil. That would be Satan. He will lay him open from thigh to neck. It's pretty gruesome, see? And sort of goes in with the games that people play on their iPhones or whatever that they have. All these gruesome signs, which I don't believe helps us in our society today, because we become immune to the effects. You only have to look at the news and what's going on in Ukraine to see the evidence of wickedness. Mm-hmm. God's going to take care of that issue. Thou dost pierce with his own spear the head of the throngs. They stormed in to scatter us. They exulted. Their exultation was like those who devour the oppressed in secret. Sort of modern war games on the internet. But it's going to happen. It's a prophecy of the future. Goes on to tell of God's glory, how his horses will tread on the sea. And a surge of many waters. And then we have Habakkuk's testimony. First of all, God's triumph. Secondly, Habakkuk's it's his testimony, but Habakkuk being terrified. He was scared to the bones. I heard, and my inward parts trembled. Again, we can say that we have become immune to what is taking place around us in the world today. At the sound of my lips, my lips quivered, decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble. And then he tells us why he is experiencing this fear. And he goes on to say, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress. He could see this taking place throughout the land. And he knew that there was a time coming when he was going to be affected by it. And there was nothing he could do about it. God's coming in judgment. But there is something we can do about it if we prepare ourselves here and now. So we wait for him. But Habakkuk says, I must wait quietly in my distress. Although I don't want to face this, there's nothing I can do about it. And I'm going to have to live through it. I'm reminded of the Psalms. Be still and go to sleep. Mm. Oh, no, that's the wrong version. Be still and know that I am God. There was nothing Habakkuk could do. He just had to wait. And there is really nothing much we can do about the situation in the world today. We can pray. We can warn people. But it doesn't change very much. So you and I, we need to wait on God, to be quiet in his presence. We are so often so busy doing this, that, and the other thing, and we do it all in the name of God, and we expect God to bless us. But there are times when he wants us to just shut up. It's not a very good way to say it, is it? But that's the idea, to be quiet, to listen, and know that he is God. Then he goes on to explain the situation in the land at this time, how that nature is affected by what is taking place. The land is tormented. And he goes through a number of things that would remind us of what Israel is. Illustrations of Israel, the fig tree and the other vines and so on that are going to bear no fruit. Verse 17, though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the land or from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls. What are we experiencing today? Worldwide famine. Okay, we don't have too much. You go to the grocery store, and honestly, we don't know where to start and finish. There's so much food. What do they say? There's, if I'm not mistaken, 22 million tons of wheat in Ukraine that they cannot ship abroad. I'm not sure of that figure. Don't quote me on it. But it's a huge amount of wheat that people around the world are expecting, hoping for. And that sort of illustrates what's going on here. These were day-to-day needs for the people of Israel. And he goes through this lament of the situation in the world that he could see. He didn't have 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days in the year, television, recording the evil that is taking place in the world. Daily, I get a newscast from New Zealand. I got to keep up with what's going on back home. Where's home? Well, wherever am I at, but in Greek. And I would say, of the articles that are recorded in that newscast, maybe 5% is good news. Maybe. Almost 100% is bad news, describing sin, describing events that are taking place that are certainly not honoring to God. There's much more we could say about this, but I want to go on to verse 18. And this is his response. The response of somebody who believes in God. This should be our response this day, in spite of what we see taking place around us. Yet I will exalt in the Lord. Now, I don't normally say hallelujah to some statement that is of profound truth. I might say it to myself. That's okay, we're all different. But is there a response in our heart? Can you and I say with confidence, I exalt in the Lord? Can we say that we exalt in the God of our salvation?
Yes.
Sort of. Okay, we're waking up. Great. I will praise him for what he has done. I will react in a way that will be pleasing to him. The idea of exulting is rejoicing in triumph in the Lord, Jehovah, the self-existing one, our joy. These are the definitions that are given for these words that are used here. Although he anticipated the coming devastation, he had confidence in God. Exodus 15:1, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. This is the challenge for us. When we come to remember him, we should be overflowing with joy. I know we come together and we meditate, but perhaps we could do that at home. And when we come together as a part of the body of Christ, we together exalt him. I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation.
Amen.
Ah, very good. Do we really rejoice in the God of our salvation? We cannot do it if we have not been saved. This is the starting point. We accept Christ as our Savior. And then we can exalt his name. Then we can rejoice in his salvation. But again, it needs a response in our power. To accept Christ into our lives. To ask for forgiveness for the sins that we've committed. To believe in him wholeheartedly. And then we can rejoice. The general picture of the world of believers is that we're all long-faced. We're all very serious. We have no joy. You agree with me? No? We have the joy, but we don't show it. Are we happy to be here this morning?
Yes.
Yes. Maybe.
Popular camel.
We come together to worship him, to remember him for what he has done. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. I will be glad. I will be joyful. Despite all that is taking place around Habakkuk at that particular time, he continues to praise God for his protection. For he goes on to say, the Lord is my strength. He has made my feet like hinds' feet. I wish I had some more of those. He makes me walk on my high places. In spite of the situation, Habakkuk has strength to go on for his God. It's not his strength, it's not his knowledge, it's not his ability. The strength comes from the Lord, the God of my salvation. If he's able to save me from the punishment of sin, surely he is able to keep me in this time of distress and despair that we're going through in the world today. We need to trust him. Earlier, we were thinking of the power of God, the power of the Lamb. It's him. It's the Lamb. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That gives me strength to carry on serving him. Refers to the deer or the hind. He has made my feet like hind's feet, which refers to being sure-footed, to know where we're going. And sometimes you see pictures of the mountainside with the sheep, the bighorn sheep. And you wonder how ever they stood up there. You wonder how they continue to live despite the steepness of the hills that they're living on. He gives me great joy in those high places. He makes me to walk in those high places with joy. Take a moment to consider the world that we live in. It's not a pretty picture. When we look at God's creation, different story. But we have hope in our God. And this is the purpose of Habakkuk's writing to the people of God, to record his feelings and his experiences in the presence of God. What he's really saying to us, in my own interpretation of it, would be, keep looking up, because that's where our hope comes from. That's where our hope is, in Christ. If we look around us in the world today, we want to pack our bags. We want to get out of the situation. We quite often joke, well, the Lord's coming, great. The King is coming. I heard that that's a common saying here in this chapel. What is our response to the fact that he is coming and we're going to be taken to be with him? In the meantime, we need to be looking up. Because if you look down and around, generally speaking, we want to give up. So as we face the situation in the world today, we can sum it up in these few words. In the Psalms, it's recorded, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? The lessons of the book will take two. God's ways are not our ways, yet he still can be trusted. Okay. Scripture says in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Second point. When things are chaotic around us, God is still in control. We're reminded in Scripture that thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, under the feet of our Lord. So in this chaotic world in which we live, there's still hope. There's still a reason for living and a reason for serving, a reason for coming together to exalt our God, to rejoice in his salvation. So keep looking up. Go forth this week with a song in your heart and a prayer from your heart as well, that God will do his thing in his time and it will be to his glory. Pray. Father, as we look at the situation in the world today, we can sympathize with Habakkuk and his experiences. We see evil all around us, seemingly to be triumphant, and yet there is a day of reckoning coming. When all that evil will be brought out, and the results will be catastrophic for those who have lived in sin. We thank you this morning that our God is alive, that he is in control. Therefore, we exalt him this morning. We rejoice in the salvation that you have given to us. Lord, help us to go from here with a song in our mouth and spring in our feet, praising you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, bless us as we separate now. May we honor you in the days to come as we seek and wait quietly in your presence. Thank you for your loving kindness to us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. Amen.